us ready for what is next here. We begin last week considering this invitation that Sarah Jane just mentioned, this invitation that Jesus extends to us to come and to find rest for our souls. I was thinking this week about something that has been driving us as a community, really, I'd say for quite a number of years now. It's this statement, this mission. We feel called to be a community renewed by God to bring renewal to the world. That is our heart and our hope, that transformation would come to the world because it desperately needs it. As if we didn't know that already, we certainly do now. And so our desire as a church is to pay attention to where God is at work and then to join in. But in order for us to be a part of bringing renewal to the world, we ourselves must be renewed. You cannot give away what you have not already received. And so if we want to be people of grace in the world, we ourselves must have experienced grace. If we want to be people of mercy, we ourselves must have experienced mercy. We have to be renewed ourselves if we hope to be a part of God's renewal in the world. And this is precisely what we've been talking about last week, this week, and for the couple of weeks to come here in September. Again, it stems from this invitation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. As we talked about last week, Jesus sees us as we are. This is really quite astonishing. Jesus is not aloof, distant, disconnected from our lives. Just the opposite is true. Christ is fully aware of how you are doing right now. And how are you doing, by the way? How are we doing? Well, last week, we tried to confess together, I think, that we just might be weary. And Jesus knows this to be true. This doesn't surprise him. But his response to us when noticing our weariness, when seeing what burden we are carrying, his response to us is one of compassion. Come, right? Come and lay down the heavy weight, and I will give you something else, something that is light, something that will not break your back or your spirit. And last week when we were chatting, I'm going to invite you in a few minutes to have a time of reflection on these verses again, and then to chat in the window, in the chat window, what is striking you. Last week, one household, and I'm paraphrasing here, said to the effect, I'm noticing in these verses, Jesus doesn't tell us that we're going to no longer have to carry a yoke. That's not what these verses say. The question is, which yoke are we carrying? Which maybe leads to a more fundamental question. What is a yoke? What is a yoke? Maybe because the Zoom connection was poor last week, or I didn't enunciate well, either are possible. You thought of this when you heard me speaking, imagining that I was talking about a Y-O-L-K. Fair enough, but that is not what I was talking about. A Y-O-K-E, a yoke, is pictured here. and here around a couple of animals. And I've been learning some things about yokes. I did not grow up a farmer, although I grew up in the country, but I was never around animals that had a yoke on. So I've been learning some things about how they work and what they're for. And I don't know exactly all of the things that Jesus did or didn't mean when he used this metaphor, but I think the more that we know about a yoke, perhaps the more possibilities there might be in this passage for what it might mean for us. So I want to share some of these things that I've been learning, and maybe a couple of videos of a yoke in action might be helpful. This is a cow. You can see the yoke there around its neck, a very basic one, and it is helping to plow a field. This is in Thailand. YouTube's an amazing thing. You can find all sorts of stuff. This is a cow or a bull named Will somewhere in the Northeast. And watch what Will does here is he has this yoke. He pulls a tree down and hauls it out of the woods. And this is Will again. The owner's gotten really fancy with cameras. Oh boy, up close and personal there. That's fine. Just gives you a sense of the yoke. And then, yeah, good old Will is pulling these logs out of the forest. Look at him go. We'll actually visit Will again next week. If you can like a bull or an ox, I've kind of grown to like Will as I watch these videos. So I'm just saying he'll be back next week for more. But, you know, here's some of the things that that I've been realizing. The first one's fairly obvious, probably maybe even too obvious to mention, but I'll say it anyway. You know, yokes help important work get done. They can be used to help steer an animal. We didn't really see that in that example so much, but they can also help leverage strength. Without a yoke, while a ox or bull may be very strong, it can't do any of this work, right? A yoke helps leverage the strength of the animal so that something important can happen. And quite often, yokes are used for two animals who are meant to work together. That's probably the most common application of a yoke. And when that's the case, again, the farmer can use that to help move them in a certain direction. So there's, okay, fairly obvious, but maybe worth saying. Yokes help us leverage strength and they can be used to steer in a certain direction. Yokes also need to fit well, or they can become burdensome and even dangerous. You go down the YouTube hole on this, there's videos out there about how to fit a yoke and how there's a video of a guy like resizing a yoke to fit a bull, and it's really quite interesting. If the yoke is in the wrong place, it can lead to sore muscles, even sores on the body. If it's too loose or too tight, the animal can be in danger of being choked. So it really matters that the yoke is the right one and that it fits well and is put in the right place. Because, related to this, yokes often need to change over the course of an animal's lifetime. There is not one size fit all yoke for an ox, for example. As the animal grows, it has to change the yoke that it uses. Interesting. And then finally, wearing a yoke takes time to learn. When you've got two animals working together on, you know, attached by the same yoke, it takes quite a bit of time for them to learn how to work in tandem. But even a single animal wearing a yoke, it's unfamiliar at first, kind of like any exercise or learning to play an instrument. It takes a lot and a lot of practice to build up the muscle and the memory for it to become second nature. So there's some training that has to happen, and it takes time. Now, again, I don't know exactly whether or not Jesus had all of these different aspects of a yoke in mind when he uses this metaphor. But perhaps some of them, and maybe all of them, were on his mind. I think this is the beauty of a parable or a metaphor that Jesus uses. It's meant to be somewhat open-ended, so that we have some room to imagine and to wonder and to engage and ask, what might this mean for us in our context? What does Jesus mean by a yoke? What is he comparing it to? What are we to understand a yoke to be like? Well, listen again to these verses from Matthew 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Jesus is saying that the yoke that we carry is something connected to it, something that comes from what Jesus teaches us. I think that's a really important connection for us to make here. This yoke that we are to wear comes from, is created by, if you will, what Jesus teaches us. Well, what does Jesus teach us? Maybe a complicated question on the one hand, but maybe also fairly simple on the other. Could it be said, I think it could, that Jesus is teaching us how to be fully human? If you were to try and boil it down and sum it up, I think that would be in there. Jesus is teaching us how to be fully human. He is showing us a way of life that leads to life in the fullest. Now, of course, there are plenty of other teachings or yokes out there in the world. There are plenty of yokes to choose from. Here's some common ones, right? Some common ways that our world says, hey, here's how you become fully alive. Here's how you reach the pinnacle of life as a human being. Of course, you would have to name, I think, this very common yoke of getting more. That's a teaching of our world, of our culture. Do this, and you will experience life to the fullest. It all hinges on getting more. This one's quite popular as well. Be comfortable. That life, the endeavor of life, the pursuit of life really is ease. Just make things as easy and comfortable as possible. That is your best pursuit, right? That's a very common teaching or yoke. Or of course, you are number one. You not only matter more, your opinion is right. Your perspective is the correct perspective. Right, you're number one. This is another one, I think. Play it safe. Don't take risk. If you want to put on a yoke, if you want to have a way of kind of living in this world, just play it safe. That's the best move for how to live life to the fullest. And then there's this one. Who, you? Who, you are going to do that? You're going to chase after that injustice? You are going to try and pursue this calling that God, you are, come on, who, you? No, right? That's a yoke, I think, that we often put on. If you put on any of these yokes, they will steer you in a certain direction. That's not really a question. If the yoke that you put on is to get more, then your life is going to head in a direction in order to achieve that. So in that sense, yokes kind of steer us in a certain direction. But if it's the wrong yoke, remember, if the yoke doesn't fit, it will be burdensome at best and dangerous at worst. So what I want to invite you to do here for the next few minutes is reflect on these verses. If you were with us last week, we're going to do the same thing that we did then. We're going to take about 2 or 3 minutes of just silence, space for you to reflect on these three verses here out of Matthew 11. And to ask yourself one or both of these questions. Where is there conflict for you in this passage. And by conflict, I mean, is there a word or phrase that's challenging to you in some way? Does it kind of create some conflict in you? Do these verses in some way, a word, a phrase, the collective whole of them, do they challenge you or show you something in need of repentance and grace? Or do they disrupt the way that you think, the way that you see yourself, the way that you're acting in the world, the yoke that you're carrying? So where's there conflict? And then the second question is, you know, where is there clarity for you in this passage? Does something become more clear about you, about God, about our life in this world? Is there greater clarity? So again, 2 or 3 minutes here to just on your own, right where you are, reflect. Teresa already mentioned a piece of paper might be helpful, and it might be in this moment, to jot down something, to get your thoughts onto paper. And then after that, we're going to have an opportunity, if you would so choose, in the chat window, or to unmute yourself and to just share, hey, you know, this strikes me about this passage, or this, I have kind of some clarity about this, or I have a question about that gets raised when I read these verses. So let's take a couple minutes, let's reflect, and then we'll come together and see what God is saying to us.